Let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to Hebrews, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter number 11. We come to the place this evening where the last individual is mentioned in this hall of faith. We've had some big names, haven't we? There's been Abel, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Isaac, Joseph, Jacob. And now we come to verse number 31. And we have Rahab. Notice Hebrews chapter number 11. And we'll be reading one verse this evening, verse number 31. The Word of God says, "By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." Notice, "By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." Rahab is interesting to know. It is the last person given singular attention for the individuals that are listed for living by faith. I think that's pretty significant. We appropriately started, if you would, with Abel, who was the first one, by revealing the excellent sacrifice of faith. And here, Rahab, you know, it is interesting throughout this passage, we really only see two women that are named. The first one we looked at was Sarah, and the second one was Rahab. Now, Sarah and Rahab are the only two women mentioned by name in this chapter of faith. We know of other women that are mentioned, but perhaps not by name. Moses' mother, we looked at. Jochebed in Hebrews 11:23 says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents." In that parents includes Amram and Jochebed. In the Hebrews, we'll see a little later in verse 35, the Bible says, "Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection." So we see here that there are these women that are mentioned, and the Bible highlights for us Sarah and Rahab. I think that's interesting. Because as we look at those two, to me, in my mind, I would think they would be the unlikely candidates. Sarah has had a track record of doubt, and here Rahab has a track record of wickedness. But they're both mentioned in this chapter of the, if you would, the giants of the faith. And here is, they're used as examples before these discouraged Hebrew Christians who are thinking about going back to Judaism. He says, "Remember Sarah and remember Rahab. Remember Moses' mother and remember the women received their dead raised to life again." And so women are part of the life of faith. It is not something that is exclusive for men. Women are to live by faith as well. Now, with that being said, this is not a message for women tonight. As we saw, the principles that we learn from this chapter can be applied to every single Christian in the Christian life. The Christian life is to be lived by faith. It is not exclusive. He says, "The just shall live by faith." He says, "Without faith to the believer, it is impossible to please Him." Now we look at Rahab and we just consider Jericho and the walls that fell down. By faith they fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. And we looked at that last week, but today we're looking at Rahab because it kind of mentions an event, and the children of Israel as a whole trusted God by faith after all those days of walking around Jericho, and on the last day walking around 7 times. What faith it must have took for them to shout for the victory, and then the walls came down. But God then highlights there, kind of puts an addendum and says, "Wait, there's one more thing about Jericho. Do you remember the faith of Rahab?" There are lessons of faith that we can learn from Rahab, who was a tremendous woman of faith, and we're going to see that this evening. She ought not to be dismissed. She is held as an example by God Himself of faith. So as we consider her life, we see first of all the meaning of faith. The meaning of her faith. In other words, What did this faith mean to Rahab personally? Oh, we're going to see it meant a big deal. But again, we have to ask ourselves the question as we study through this this passage in this verse and consider the life of Rahab. What does faith mean in our lives? It ought to mean something. Now notice what it means in her life. We see the meaning of faith. First of all, we see its distinction. The Bible says, by faith, notice, the harlot Rahab. It would seem to be counterproductive, wouldn't it, to put faith associated with a harlot? It seems contradicted. By faith, the harlot Rahab. But we perhaps also did not expect earlier, as I mentioned, Sarah to be mentioned earlier. But Sarah had demonstrated great doubts in the past, and now Rahab had demonstrated great wickedness in the past. But Rahab, we also know, was a Gentile. Which strikes us to be interesting because she is mentioned among, the Bible says, the elders who obtain a good report. So among the elders that we would consider in our minds as Jewish people at that time, we would consider Abraham. We would consider Moses. We would consider Isaac. We would consider Joseph. We would consider Jacob. We would consider those men. But Rahab, a Gentile woman, mentioned in the list of the elders who obtained a good report. But I want us to consider this. As a Gentile, she was very involved in the Jewish race. Very involved. Think about it. Rahab married Salmon of the tribe of Judah. They named their son Boaz. Boaz married a Gentile woman by the name of Ruth. They named their son Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of David, the great king of Israel. All those were in the line of Christ. So Rahab, although she's a Gentile woman, she's involved in the lineage of Christ. And here she is mentioned as part of the elders who obtain a good report by faith. This is significant. Because this faith that we read of the elders, he tells the Hebrew Christian, is not exclusive to Israel. It's never been exclusive to Israel, and it will never be exclusive to Israel. By faith, the harlot Rahab. You see, it meant a whole lot to Rahab. Can you consider Rahab, and perhaps rejoicing later, of the fact that she is part of the lineage of Christ? You see, it's quite distinctive to have her mentioned in this hall of faith. That must mean a lot, and it must mean a lot to us. What does faith mean to us? It must be a distinction. It's a distinction in our lives. It separates us from everything else. It's what we have in common. Faith is what we have in common. And Rahab, although she was a Gentile woman, was named with the Jewish, the Israelites who were part of the lineage of Christ. She is mentioned there. So we see its distinction. But number two, we see its deliverance. The Bible says, notice, the harlot Rahab. Although she stood with an ugly past, faith cleaned it up. In other words, her life of the past, her behavior that is associated with her, if you would, of being a harlot, faith has a purifying effect upon people. It changes people's lives. It changed her life. Where there is faith, there will be character. Where faith is lacking, there will be corruption. And the fact is, Rahab had lived for a long time in her life without faith, living a lifestyle that was not pleasing to God, that would be repulsive to the Jewish culture, but also to the people of Jericho. She was a harlot. Her life, that was her lifestyle. But she was delivered from that by faith. God reminds us that by faith, the harlot Rahab did what she did, but remember that faith is what enabled her to leave that life and then to marry a Jewish man from the tribe of Judah to be involved in the lineage of Christ. So why do you get so excited? Because I'm a Gentile. And I sure am glad that I can be saved. I sure am glad that my sins can be forgiven. And I sure am glad that if by faith I trust Christ as my Savior, I can become a child of God. You see, she was delivered from that. Just an addendum, but she was still referred to as a harlot. You see, she was cleansed by faith But the scars of her behavior and her lifestyle are still there. They're still there. So we see, notice, its distinction, the meaning of faith, its distinction, its deliverance. But number three, we see its difference. Now, the Bible says again, by faith, the harlot, notice, Rahab. Mentions specifically her name. Now, we see her appear in the book of Joshua, but not one other name is mentioned of one person in Jericho who believed. Not one other name. She was alone in her faith. This faith is true and living in the true and living God was not popular in Jericho because the Bible doesn't mention any other name. There was nobody else that was there that had the faith that Rahab had. There was one commentator wrote, he says, it is the easiest thing in the world to believe as everybody else believes. But the difficulty is to believe a thing alone. When no one else thinks as you think to be the solitary champion of a righteous cause. That's difficult. It made her different. It made her separate from everybody else that was there at Jericho. What did? Her faith. You see, that's what faith meant to her. It meant there is a distinction there. There is a deliverance and there is a difference. Another commentator wrote, he says, the 11th chapter of Hebrews does not give a hint that faith is popular in the world, but rather that its adherents often stand very lonely in the hills of faith. Abel was alone in his stand of faith. Noah only got his family members in the ark with him amongst all the thousands and millions of people alive when the flood came. Joseph stood alone in his family when his brothers all took a different route in his life. Rahab was alone in her faith, as she was alone, of all the inhabitants of Jericho is recognized in Hebrews 11. You may have to stand alone in your Christian faith and be subject to much ridicule and scorn, but when the rewards are handed out, you will be recognized. You alone will stand with the reward in hand, then being alone will not seem bad at all. You see, what made her separate than everybody else in Jericho? Faith. Faith is what separates us from the world. Just as faith is what separated Rahab from Jericho. Do you see as the walls came down? The Bible says her house was on the wall. As the walls came down, you know what stood the test of time? Faith. You know what we could call that tower there that's standing there? The tower where Rahab lived? We could call that the tower of faith. That stands in the midst of destruction and the judgment of God, faith rises above it all. You see, that's the meaning of faith. Is faith meaningful to us? Is it makes us different? Has it delivered you? Has it separated from the world? So we not only see the meaning of faith, but number two, we see the manifestation of faith. How was her faith manifested? Well, what is the evidence in her life that shows us that she has faith? Because it wasn't, I have faith, and that's it. There was something in her life that manifested, that demonstrated, that proved of her faith. Now, we notice several things in the Scriptures here in Hebrews, but also going back to Joshua. First of all, the manifestation of faith that is manifested, first of all, it is persuaded. Faith is persuaded. In other words, faith is the opposite of, I hope so. That's not faith. Faith is persuaded. Joshua chapter 2 verse 9, what did she say? She said, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. She said that to the spies. She said, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Now, the walls are still up. There are spies that are being chased now in Jericho, hunted by the soldiers in Jericho to try to get them out or to try to imprison them. And she says here in the midst of all that, I know that the Lord has given the land into your hand. You see, she was certain about the words she had heard concerning the Lord and the children of Israel. She was convinced by that. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul was persuaded. And faith will do just that. Faith will manifest itself in our lives by saying, I am persuaded, I know, I'm convinced. And by the way, if you're not convinced of anything, you're not going to do a whole lot for God. If you're not convinced by the Word of God and say, I am persuaded, this is why I do what I do, because I know this is the truth. If there's no persuasion, then faith will never be manifested. Will never be seen in the eyes of a world that stands against God. So we see the manifestation of faith, it is persuaded, but number two, it is also proved. She not only said, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, but Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, the Bible says, she had received the spies with peace. She received them, the Bible says, with peace. Now the Bible tells us in James chapter 2, verse 25, the Bible, James mentions Rahab. But notice what he says about Rahab in James 2:25. Was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? Now, don't be alarmed by this, justified by works. James is talking about justification before men. That's very important when you read the book of James. It's not talking about justification before God. It's talking about justification before men. He is talking about having proof of your faith before men. Why? Because the world doesn't see the heart. The world can't see faith itself. But they sure do see the actions of believers. You see, we're justified by faith before God, but how do men know that we have faith? How do we prove that? John Butler said, men cannot see your heart, but they can see your hands. They cannot see your soul, but they can see your steps. And that is true in the Christian life. You see, she was not only persuaded, that's how faith was manifested, but it was also proved. Now, I believe it is proved in two ways. First of all, she received the men. The Bible tells us that she received the spies with peace. John chapter 13, verse 35, the Bible says, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. You see, faith will enjoy fellowship with those kindred to faith. Jesus Christ said that to the disciples. The world is going to know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Now, you have forgiveness of sins in me, but let me tell you, if you want to be a witness in the world, you have to love one another. You have to show as you have to receive one another, fellowship with one another, exhort one another. That's how the world knows that you are my disciples. And there is the proof. She received those men with peace. Not only do we see she received the men, which proves her faith, but she received the message. She received those spies with peace. You see, faith will evidence itself by its attitude towards others of faith, but it will also evidence itself by its response to the Word of God. What did she say when she heard the message of the Israelites that were coming to conquer the land? She said, I know that this is the truth. I know that God will give you the land. I know. You see, she received not only the men of God, but she received the message of God. And in our lives, faith is proved in our lives when we fellowship with one another, receive one another, but it also proves, it is proved in how we receive the Word of God. You see, the preaching of the Word of God, as the Word of God is faithfully being preached, those in the church that are sitting under the preaching, on the sound of the preaching of the Word of God, will be divided between those of faith and those without faith. Those that receive the Word and those that just rejected and said, I, that's not for me. That's for somebody else. Well, that's what you think, preacher. That's your interpretation. Is it a Word of God? Well, I don't feel convicted about it. You see, the proof of a person that's living by faith, the manifestation is proved by the reception of the men, but also by the reception of the message of God. Not only it is seen because it is persuaded, it is proved, but number three, it is pleading. The Bible shows us in Joshua chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says, now therefore I pray you, this is Rahab speaking to the spies, I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house. She pleads with the spies that kindness would be shown towards her immediate family. Which shows us here that this is the further proof of faith, since she was convinced that Jericho was going to be destroyed, she became concerned for her loved ones. She knew Jericho was going to be destroyed because she said, I know. She received the men, she received the message, and now because she has faith in God, the only true and living God, she pleads for her family. You see, faith is a great promoter of prayer. A lack of prayer exposes a lack of faith. People of faith will be people of prayer. She pleads. Why? Because she convinced. And when we are convinced by faith that there is a lost and dying world, therefore, there's something within us that causes us to say, God, help me to be the witness I need to be. Please pray for my family members. They need to be saved. You see, faith is convinced. It is proved in a prayer life. It is manifested there. So the manifestation of faith, we see it is persuaded, it is proved, and it is pleading. So we not only see the meaning of faith, the manifestation of faith, but thirdly, we see the magnitude of faith. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11, verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. She perished not with those that believed not. We see three things in faith and the magnitude of faith, if you would. We see the impact of faith in her life. First of all, we see the risk of faith. There was a risk that was involved there. You see, Rahab's faith was alive and well since she risked her life for what she believed in. She was the only one there. It was not a popular thing to do at that time in Jericho. There weren't signs and billboards that says, read your Bible, trust Christ as your Savior. It was a pagan society. Faith was not popular, but she was convinced by faith, and therefore she risked her life. Courage, or a lack of it, certainly reveals the strength of our faith. You see, one does not knowingly or willingly risk his life or her life for that which he does not believe in. Nobody's going to risk their reputation. Nobody's going to risk conflict for something they don't believe in. You know, persecution is a great indicator of whether someone is a true believer. Why? Because it separates the sheep from the wolf. You see, someone that's in church that doesn't really believe and doesn't live by faith and has never lived by faith, when persecution comes, they say, I'm out of here. This is not worth it. Why? Because there's no faith. But there was great risk on the part of Rahab. So we see the magnitude. This is pretty important because she risked her life and she did that by faith. We not only see the risk of faith and the magnitude of faith, but we see, number two, the reach of faith. This is how important faith is. The Bible tells us in Joshua chapter 6, verse 23, and the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. Now think about that for just a moment. Rahab would not have reached her family and had there been no warning about the coming judgment upon the city of Jericho. Let's picture this for a moment. Rahab goes to her father or parents' house and says, you all need to come to my house. You see the people walking around the city? The walls are going to come down. Now, when you hear that, you think they could have laughed. But can you imagine if she had said, just come to my house, let's have all the family, gather all the family, all the brothers, all the sisters, everybody that's close to you, bring them all to my house. Why? Why, Rahab? Well, I don't know, just come. Would they have been there? She had in her faith, she had to give a message of coming judgment. That was the only way to convince the family to come to her house. There was no other way to go about it. The only place to escape the judgment of God in Jericho was the place where Rahab lived. You see what she's doing? The judgment is coming, but there's a place where you can come to There's a place where you can be safe. There's a place where you don't have to face the judgment of Jehovah God upon the city of Jericho. And that place is the place of faith. Joshua 2 verse 8 tells us, "Behold, when ye come into the land, thou shalt bind the line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee, and it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him." So they say that to Rahab. So Rahab says, "You all need to come because judgment is coming. The city is going to be destroyed. The judgment of God is coming. But there's a place when you can come that's a safe place. There's a place that you can come that's free from the judgment of God." That's the magnitude of faith. Wouldn't you say that was important for her to get that message to her family? Wouldn't you get that message to your family if you were there and you were Rahab? And you were convinced that the judgment of God was coming? And you knew that the walls were going to fall down? And you knew that the land was going to be given to Israel? What other choice is there? There was no other choice. So we see not only the risk of faith, the reach of faith, and the magnitude, but lastly we see the reward of faith. The Bible tells us, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." But if we travel back to Matthew chapter number 1, in the first few verses in Matthew chapter number 1, notice, if we turn there, Matthew chapter number 1, in the opening chapter of the New Testament, in the opening verses of the New Testament, which announce the long-awaited Messiah, notice the names that appear. Verse 1, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas of and his brethren, and Judas begat Phares, and Zerah of Tamar, and Phares begat Ezram, and Ezram begat Aram. And Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz," which is Boaz, "of Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse." Now Rahab is Rahab. And Booz is, notice, is Boaz, Obed, and Ruth, notice, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Notice here, Rahab, because of her faith, was in the ancestry of Jesus Christ. Faith will elevate one to eternal honor. John Butler in this commentary says, "Rahab faced scorn and ridicule and peril from her fellow Jericho citizens for a time when she embraced the faith. But for many thousands of years, Rahab had been basking in the honors of heaven. And through the Scriptures, she has had honors no earthly achievement could have obtained for her." She's mentioned in the lineage of Christ. What magnitude to consider that at the moment of her faith, do you think for one moment that she was even thinking that way? "I'm going to bring about the Messiah." No. She may have thought that it was insignificant. And many times in our lives, we think that our faith individually is insignificant. But may I say, in the eyes of God, it is not insignificant. We consider the faith of Rahab. I didn't give you the title, but this is the title. The faith of Rahab, we see this, the eternal benefit of faith. Abel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, the great leader that led the children out of Israel, out of Egypt, and Rahab. Rahab. You know, we think sometimes, well,
I can't be a Noah. I can't be a Abraham. I can't be a Moses. I can't be those great big men. I can't be a Paul. I can't be a Peter. But you know what the Word of God shows as He's telling these Hebrew Christians who are discouraged? You don't have to be an Abraham. You don't have to be an Isaac. You don't have to be a Moses. Just be a Rahab. You see, you've had a track record of sin in your life, and no matter where that track record has taken you, today your faith has changed your life, and it doesn't take much. But whatever faith you have, if you turn it over to God, God will elevate your faith, and there are eternal benefits to your faith, who you might think is small and insignificant, but in the eyes of God, it is a giant, as Rahab was a giant of the faith. Just as Abraham's faith allowed him to accomplish what he accomplished, Rahab's faith allowed her to be in the lineage of Christ. And so, faith in our lives, it is fitting that He finishes all those names that have been mentioned in the life in the trail record of faith. He finishes us all with Rahab. Rahab. Someone that every single person can relate to. Can you look back at her life? The harlot, Rahab. Yep. A harlot. But faith changed it all. So I'm not a preacher. I'm not called a preacher. I'm not called to be a missionary. I'm just insignificant. You are not insignificant in the eyes of God. Just a little bit of faith in your life. Where you say, I am persuaded. And you're convinced and say, I'm going to follow the Word of God. It is true. Will bring eternal benefits. But it can only be done by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, where we've looked at many individuals, and we're going to continue talking about this chapter, but we see these individuals, and what I am compelled to do, examine my own life and see how do I relate to each one of those lessons that we learn about faith on all of those individuals throughout the parade, if you would, of Jewish history. How do I fare in my faith? Well, let's compare our faith to a simple person tonight. Let's compare our faith to Rahab. Does your faith mean anything to you? Is your faith being manifested in your life as it was in the life of Rahab? And just consider this. That your faith is very important. You see, the magnitude of faith is huge. In the eyes of God, it is. You see, He's been dealing with this whole book with what the Hebrew Christians were failing at. And what they were failing at was their faith. Their immaturity, their laziness, their lack of growth, their failure to enter into the rest of God was all a result of faith. Now the Bible, we read in Joshua that when Rahab and her family came out, they stood without the camp. But eventually they got in the camp. Because she got married. You see, she may have looked at the first that, wow, faith? Is that, I mean, now we got to sit outside the camp? Then perhaps it must have shaken her faith a little bit. But eventually, she came and was brought into the fold of the lineage of Christ. You see, God lifts Rahab up because He says, no matter where you've been, how little and significant you think you may be, consider Rahab. May the Lord help us to think, you know, God is not looking for Abrahams today. He's already lived. He's not looking for Moses today. He's already lived. He's not looking even for Rahab today. She's already lived. You know what He's looking for? He's looking, and you put your name in there. God is looking for Sam Knickerbocker to live by faith. That's what He's looking for. And you put your name in there because that's what God is looking for. We say, I'm not a giant of the faith. God's not looking for a giant of the faith. He's never looked for a giant of the faith. He's just looked for faith. Will He find faith on the earth when He comes back? I pray to God that He finds faith right here at First Day Baptist Church. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.